The following audio is from Overland Park Community Church. More information about OPCC can be found online at overlandpark.cc.
Welcome to OPCC. Welcome to those of you joining online. Happy Easter to all of you. It's good to see you today. I know that Easter is where you have a certain amount of expectations of what church is going to be like, and certainly we have we've got the picture board out front for you to take a picture with you and your family, and we want you to take advantage of that. And I want to say right up front that I believe that God, that Jesus was God in the flesh. There's no doubt that I believe that down to the core of my being. I believe he offered himself as a sacrifice for my sins, and he rose from the dead and is alive today. And that truth has changed my life. Like, everything about me sort of revolves around that central truth right there. And if it weren't for the resurrection of Christ, Christianity would be absolutely meaningless. And so a lot of you are here for the first time, and I want to just say thanks for coming, and we're glad you're a part of our fellowship this morning. I want to tell you that we believe that there's some special stuff happening here. Like, the Lord is moving in a very special way, and we recognize that's not anything that we have done in particular on our part outside of just being faithful to what the Lord has called us to and teaching his word. And over the last year or so, we've just seen the Lord just really start to move as many new folks have started to come to church and require us even to add a third service. And so we're excited about that, and we want to invite you to come and be a part of that, because the reality is that's the only hope for our culture. That's the only hope for America, is not just another religious activity, but an awakening of people to a power that actually like transforms us from the inside out. And so we meet here every week, and what I like to say is we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday, not just on Easter. Certainly Easter is a historical day where the church globally, you know, looks at this day and goes, man, this is the time that he did it, and the church actually started then. And so it would make sense that it would serve as an anniversary, a time of anniversary for us to all celebrate together. But the reality is every week when we meet, we ought to be celebrating what the Lord has done. And so we've been walking through Genesis the past, 6 months. We're halfway through. We're just kind of going through verse by verse for the most part, unpacking it and asking ourselves the really hard questions. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? What does it mean to be a church? What does it look like for us to truly live out what Jesus wants us to do while we're alive here on this planet? And so the reality is that the Lord has a divine objective, right? It is to bring everything in heaven and earth under the control of Christ. And so the desire of God is that on all of these human beings that are alive in any given generation, it is to bring them to a place of yielding and recognizing that Christ is not only Savior, he's Lord. And so we do many things to help foster that. One of them is that we meet weekly, as we're commanded to do in Scripture. Don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves with the body of Christ. But we have discipleship groups. We have different Bible studies that are going on, student ministry that happens, and men's ministry things. And all of these things are designed for people to have fellowship with one another, which the Scripture tells us to do, and to walk in this place of transformation. We like to say that transformation is a city we live in. Transformation isn't something that happened. And a lot of times in our faith, that's exactly what happens, is people believe that even like we remember the resurrection of Christ on Easter. We remember the arrival of Christ on Christmas. And we sort of get into this place where we think that I remember when I met the Lord at a certain time in my life. And that's great. But the reality is, transformation is not something that happens one time. Transformation is something that we are transformed in a moment, we are changed, and we take on the Holy Spirit. He lives in us, but we are to walk that out until we come to the end of our lives. And so we are consistently to be walking in this place of transformation, not looking back at some historical event that took place in our lives when a thing happened for us, when I, met the Lord or when I got baptized or whatever you want to fill in the blank. No, man, it is about walking in this place of consistent transformation, where I'm yielding to the Lord, and I'm not the same this Easter as I am last Easter, and I won't be the same the Easter after that, and I'm consistently walking in this place and living in this environment where the Lord is transforming me as each year or each day passes in my life. Following Jesus is not about a list of do's and don'ts and wills and won'ts. That's what we've reduced it to. That's why there will be more people at church today than any other day in the next year. As people think you should go to church on Easter. And you should, but you should go to church next week too. Like if Jesus rose from the dead, man, there are things that we should be doing just because of who he is. And it should be something that happens out of a desire and a want to, not, hey, I'm going to start following God by doing these things and not doing these things. And so we reduce this into this list of do's and don'ts, wills and won'ts. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to start helping people who are in need. Maybe I'll go down and hand a few sandwiches out to some homeless people. And we sort of reduce our faith down to that. But following Jesus is not about managing a list. He's much bigger than that. As a matter of fact, if we're going to follow Jesus, we've got to get rid of our list and get real with him. The word says, and Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, I want to know Christ. And so today I'm not going to walk you through exactly what happened on the day that Jesus was crucified and how he rose from the dead. I'm not going to walk you through these historical events and talk about what Jesus did. Because what Paul is saying here is, I want to know Christ, yes, the power of the resurrection. He doesn't say, I want to know the resurrection. He already knows the resurrection. He met Christ in his resurrected form. That's what changed his life. And as he's writing to the church, he's saying, I want to know about that power, because that power is what transforms me into a life that honors and worships God. And so he's not focusing on what Christ did. He's focusing on what Christ is doing. And that's what we should be doing, is we should be focusing on what Christ is doing in our lives individually. And if you want to know that power, then you have to get real with him. You have to be authentic with him. And there's only one way to get real with Jesus, and that is to deal with your baggage. Okay, what is baggage? Baggage is the possessions of a traveler traveling from one place to the next. And we're all on a journey. We're all traveling. It started when we were born physically and we became children. We started the journey of life. It will end when life for us is no more on this side, and our time is done. Time is no longer being measured for us. That's the end of our journey. And the baggage is the stuff that we're taking along between that birthday and that death day. And so there are three types of baggage that we have. And the first one is personal baggage. And personal baggage is the stuff we carry around and no one else knows about it. Personal baggage is viewing pornography on the internet and nobody knows but you. Personal baggage is having a gambling addiction and hiding it from your wife. You're on DraftKings all the time, man. You're just down in there. Personal baggage is having something going on inside of you, like alcoholism. Nobody knows that you're dependent upon alcohol or, you know, weed or whatever. You can fill in the blank, whatever substance of choice. And you sort of, it's your thing, man. And no one else knows that this is happening but you. But these are things that you feel like you can't live without. So you carry them on the plane with you so that you know when you land, you've got a toothbrush, right? You've got some deodorant. You're able to, there's some things that you're not going to check at the gate because you want to get in on the plane and know that when you arrive at that destination, you have those things. Several years ago, I went to West Africa on a mission trip, and my job, along with my buddy, he was a videographer, and I was supposed to tell the story of all the different team members on this team that were going over for a couple of weeks and doing all these surgeries and things. And so we went, made the long flight over there, and we landed in Paris and had a day in Paris. So we thought, man, we got this time. We're going to go around. We had somebody that was a local missionary that was going to take us around and let us see some things. And so we decided, let's take the camera. Now, this was several years ago. I think it was like 2007 or 2008, something like that. The camera was much larger back then than they are now. video camera. So we better take the camera in case we want to shoot some stuff. Worst decision that we could have ever made on the trip. We're running around Paris, like trying to take in as much as we possibly can in a day. We're exhausted from having flown over there, and yet we're carrying this big camera around, and we absolutely shot nothing. And so we took the camera and carried it, and it ruined part of the day, part of the experience. We just had to take turns. You carry the camera, I'll carry the camera. Don't forget the camera when we stop to eat, and like all these different things. And that's what personal baggage does for you, is you have it, and you think nobody knows about it, but you're having to carry it around all the time, and it's frankly just making your life not as enjoyable as it should be. And so that's one type of baggage that we have. The other baggage is relational baggage. Now, this is a little different because this has to do with other people. Your relationships, it could be your relationships with your parents. Maybe you're a young person, a student, and you're feeling like they don't understand you, and you've gotten into this real rebellious place, and now there's distance between you and your parents, and so there's a little bit of baggage there. Could even be worse than that, much more severe than that, that your parents got a divorce when you were younger, and you hardly ever see your dad. He lives in another state, and you feel like he abandoned you, and you're a little bit hurt and angry about that. Could be a number of different things. Could be you're mad at a neighbor. You used to be really close with your neighbor, and they left you out of something and hurt your feelings, or you left them out of something and their feelings got hurt, and now you never talk to each other. Could even be somebody in the church that you're having that problem with. Could be a lifelong friend. Could be a number of different things, but you sort of push it down and your pride gets in the way and it starts to interfere with your relationship, and that relationship dies because you've got baggage now. And so you push it down, and it's kind of like your check bag. You put that thing in there, and you're like, man, this big old bag, I've got to have all this stuff. I'm on a couple of week trip. But you finally get to the airport, and it feels good to like drop that thing off. I don't have to drag it around. But lo and behold, when you get to your final destination, you got to go down to baggage. You got to watch that and wait for it to come. And then all the other bags that look like it, you got to make sure that nobody picks up your baggage, and that baggage is coming back, right? Doesn't matter how much you push it down in your life, when you have relational baggage and you think that you're fine, if you bury it, you will never bury it to the point that it doesn't come back and start to impact your life again until you learn to walk it out in obedience. Like some of you, if you have a parent that you haven't talked to in a long time, a sibling that you've gotten angry about, that's checked baggage. You got to get through that, and it's foolish to stay there. You say, well, you don't understand what my dad did to me. And I say, you don't understand what you did to Jesus. You don't understand the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection is to transform me into a place where I not only can love a father that has disappeared on me and abandoned me, I can love an enemy and pray for them that persecute me. And that's what Jesus is saying, that he will make us into these kind of people. But this baggage, man, it gets in the way and it keeps creeping up and we try to stuff it down. And the reality is, if we could get to a place where we could genuinely forgive that person, then we wouldn't be carrying that baggage around anymore and it wouldn't be creeping up every so often and starting to cause anxiety or depression or worry and fear. And that's what happens, is when we don't deal with things adequately and allow the Lord to walk us through them the way he does. Desires for us to walk through them, then we're beginning to deal with some baggage that we're not designed to deal with. And then the third type of baggage is spiritual baggage. And this is the kind of baggage that's not between you and people, it's between you and God. And you get angry at God. You could be angry at God for something like I described your parents. You know, they split up when you were younger, and you prayed that they wouldn't, and then they did, and now you're hurt, and you feel like God doesn't care about you. Or you did something shameful. You committed adultery on your wife, and you're ashamed of that, and you've gotten into this place because it happened. Maybe you were the one that experienced the unfaithfulness, and you were a victim, and you've just gotten angry because you had asked God to bless your marriage, and here you are in this place, and now you're angry at God. Or your parents died when you were younger, and you're just mad at God about that. If God really did exist, why would he let that happen? And so there's so many different things that we could describe of this type of spiritual baggage that puts a person in this place where there's a wedge pushed between them and God, and they're just angry at God, and they think they're accomplishing something, but the reality is this baggage is just a body bag. And a body bag is just used to carry a corpse from the battlefield home. And that's why a person, Paul says that if we never come to a place of spiritual awakening in our lives where we know the Lord, we're dead in our sins and trespasses. That's what the gospel is all about. Why Jesus rose from the dead is so that we could come alive in Christ. And so it's possible for you to be dealing with a kind of baggage that you're just dead and your baggage is a body bag. You don't know the Lord at all. Or you have known the Lord. You came to know the Lord, and then you let some of this other baggage get in the way, and you've gotten angry at God. And instead of walking in repentance and understanding the sovereignty of God and allowing Him to walk you through this moment, you've just gotten mad at Him, and you're just kind of like, I'll show you, and you won't show Him. It doesn't matter how long you stay in that place of pride, it's a body bag. All there is death there, and you're never going to come through that. And so, like, we look at these things, and we come up with lists in our lives to manage how we feel because we're experiencing so much shame from all these different types of baggage, whether it's personal baggage that I'm hiding, relational baggage that I'm filled with pride over, or spiritual baggage that's gotten me distanced from God. Then I will begin to create a list of shoulds and shouldn'ts, do's and don'ts, and wills and won'ts. If I do this, then I'll feel a little bit better about myself. You go volunteer down at the pet shelter. It makes me feel better about myself. You know, like, again, nothing wrong. I think that's good to go volunteer at different places like that. But the reality is trying to do that kind of stuff to deal with what's weighing you down in this baggage will never work. It won't stick because you cannot get enough stuff on the list to help you love God and people the way that God wants you to love God and people. The great commandment, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And the second one is to like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. He said, I'm going to turn you into the kind of person that will care for other people and love other people. You'll pray for your enemies. You'll bless your enemies that persecute you. If someone slaps you on the face, you'll turn the other cheek. Now, it's very rare that someone's going to slap you in the face. I've been slapped in my life a couple of times. One time by this lady sitting right here on the front row. And y'all don't believe that. This woman is, oh, nice, sweet little Abby. I can't believe that. She slapped me as hard as I have ever been slapped in my life. But I won the Monopoly game anyway, right? And that's what it was during. It was early in our marriage. It was hilarious. Not at the moment. It was... But very rare to get slapped in the face, right? And so, but people will slap you verbally all the time. You'll get slapped verbally at work. You'll get slapped at school. You'll be slapped by your friends. You'll be slapped by enemies. Verbally, people will say things. And so that's where, like, men, where it's really at. We really don't need to be, well, what would I do if somebody hit me? What would you do if somebody slaps you verbally before the day's over? Will you be the kind of person that turns the other cheek? You see, Jesus says, when you begin to walk in relationship with me and understand the power of the resurrection, you realize what I accomplished, and you realize I'm making that power available to change you into the kind of person that will want to not verbally slap them back, because you will recognize all that I've done for you. And when someone slaps you verbally, you'll think to yourself, how many times have I slapped Jesus verbally? I could have been in the crowd, pelting him with stones, calling him cursed, saying all kinds of things about him. I could have been among those who crucified him. I could have been mocking him and laughing at him. As a matter of fact, I can look at areas of my life and the way that I live that that's exactly what I did with the way I was living my life, as I was verbally mocking or metaphorically mocking God with the way that I was living my life. And so I have slapped Jesus, and he has turned the other cheek. And the more I dwell on that, the more I understand and want and have a desire to realize he's changed me. And the more I allow him to change me, if someone tries to take advantage of me, I realize, man, there's nobody can take advantage of me. I belong to him. And there's nothing, anybody or anyone, anything can happen to me. No one, no thing can start to impact me in such a way that I'm not protected from the Lord. It's because I'm walking in this place of salvation and transformation. And so the gospel, or the apostle John, tells us in his epistle in 1 John chapter 3 how all this works. And this is really what Easter is about. It's like, you can't come and worship Jesus without your life. coming and singing a song is not worshiping Jesus. Jesus said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, I desire worship in spirit and truth. Not I desire worship on Easter and Christmas. I desire worship in spirit and truth. Everything that you are and all that you have, your entire being, I'm going to make those kind of worshipers. And the only way to make those kind of worshipers is for a transformation to take place in a person's life. And the only when that transformation happens and we walk in it, then we're not carrying around all this baggage. And so we look at the gospel or the epistle of John, the apostle, in chapter 3, verse 16, and it says this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So Jesus laid down his life, and then the resurrection is he took it back. He took it back upon himself. And when we lay our lives down, guess what we get? We get his life. So when we lay it, it's life for life when it comes to the gospel. I lay my life down, I get the life of Jesus. I keep looking for my life, I will never get the life of Jesus. But when I lay my life down, then I get the life of Jesus. He says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? You see what that is? He's saying, man, when the love of God hits you, when you see someone in need, if the love of God is in you, if Christ has done a work in you, you're going to have compassion on that person. Doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go and help every single person, but it means that you're going to have compassion. He's showing us when the love of God hits us, this is what a person's heart begins to look like. And he says, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And how do we do that? He said, this then is how we know that we belong to the truth and we set our hearts at rest in his presence. The list is done to try to remove condemnation. But there's a way for my heart to be set at rest in Christ. Whenever our hearts condemn us, he goes on to say, for God is greater than our hearts. So God is greater than my heart and he knows everything is what he goes on. So he knows all about my baggage. I think I've been hiding all this stuff. I even think I've been hiding things from God, hiding things from other people. But the reality is he knows everything about every one of us and he knows all about our baggage. For God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, that's a good place to live in. That's what I'm talking about. When I get rid of this baggage, my heart is no longer condemning me because I realize there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If my heart no longer condemns me, it says we have confidence before God. Now I'm going to God and talking to him with an incredible amount of confidence because I'm not experiencing the condemnation that my heart will try to make me walk in. And so I can receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And we're just doing it naturally. Like we're not trying to do it with a list. It's just coming out of us. And he says, this is the command. What is the command? To believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. What do those who obey his commands do? They live in him and he lives in them. So they're not trying to do something. They're trying to be something. And the being that they are is based on the belief that Jesus Christ came and he was God in the flesh and he rose from the dead on Easter. So Easter is not about remembering what Jesus did. Easter is about remembering what Jesus is doing. Easter is about the here and now. That's why we celebrate the resurrection at this church every single week. Everything we do is based upon the Lord continually transforming me into himself, like what his character was, what he was like. I die to myself. I take up my cross every day and follow Jesus. And so he goes on to tell us even further after he tells us what that we are in him and he lives in us. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So there's nothing about a list here. There's something about a transformation of everything about me that was dead has now come alive in Christ. And so the reality is what you need to do is look at your life and go, what's my baggage? You want to worship Jesus this Easter? Look at your baggage and check it with the Lord. Like, that's what Easter's about. You check the baggage, but the difference is you don't take the baggage back. When you really understand this, you really understand there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You really start to walk in the power of the resurrection that Christ, that Paul says, man, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Then you start to walk in this place and go, I'm not condemned. Hey, somebody try to make you feel guilty. I'm not condemned. You can't make me feel guilty about anything because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I live in him and he lives in me and I am not condemned. Well, that makes me smile already. If I think about the things that I wish I would have done last week, I'm condemned because I'm thinking about my list. But when I think that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, I am not condemned. So my encouragement to you is to check your bags and come fly with us, or we love to fly and it shows, right? You can just keep going with all these different airline things. There's a box in front of me. I asked somebody to build it. Box can't be open. It's completely sealed. It's not a suggestion box about how I might do a better job on the sermon next week, okay? There's a bag tag in your bulletin. You open your bulletin. Now, if you're a visitor, you might want to tear the little bag tag off. If you say, oh, no, I didn't get a bulletin, just grab an offering envelope. You can use it too. You write your name on it, and you check your baggage. Write it down, man. Nobody's ever going to look at this, okay? And here's what's going to happen is Sean's going to play a worship song, and I would encourage you to come and put your bags in this box. Now, we're going to do this. We did it this morning and had a great response. I'm going to take this box, and we're living in the New Testament. I'm a pastor, not a priest, all right? But in the Old Testament, burnt offerings were really done a lot. And in the New Testament, we're described as a fragrant aroma, an offering to Christ. And so the only thing we can offer is our lives, and really this baggage measures up to a lot of our lives. The stuff that really weighs us down and say, man, I'm going to lay this down for the Lord. And I want to believe in him. And so when you put that in there, I'm going to take this box after the next service and I collect the final ones and I'm going to pray over it. And I'm going to offer it as a burnt offering to the Lord. And what I want you to do is believe, man. Believe in the gospel. Believe in the power of the resurrection. Want to know the resurrection. And come and be a part of this church. If you've been on the fringes, come and learn more. You say, well, I'm just a new person. No, you're a new person in Christ. We're family. And come and be a part of what the Lord wants to do in this community through this ministry because something is happening. Something special is happening in this church. And that's why you're here today, is to be a part of that. Now, if you don't understand, like this is the first time you've heard the gospel, there'll be some people up here to pray with you as well. But I would encourage you that during this song to come physically and check it so that you'll remember it. Now, if you're not able, after we're done worshiping, I'm going to take the box to the back and it'll be in the back as you leave. But I think you will remember it and it'll be more meaningful to you if while this box is up here on the offer, on the altar, you come and check your bags as a sacrifice unto the Lord.
Thank you for listening to audio from Overland Park Community Church in Overland Park, Kansas. For more information, visit us online at overlandpark.cc.